let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. For thousands of years, humankind has relied entirely on plants, herbs, and spices to treat illnesses, both minor and serious, or for cuts or wound healing. On every continent stretching back centuries, native cultures turned to indigenous plants to develop healing remedies. In this interview today, our guest, holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., will feature some of her favorite culinary herbs, why they're beneficial for the body, and suggest ways to use them in food. She's been studying the healing benefits of spices and culinary herbs for over 30 years and imparts her knowledge on this subject worldwide. Today, she is eager to enlighten us on how we can all discover the healing secrets of our spice racks. For more information, by the way, on this topic, refer to Susan's website and especially her free monthly healthy living newsletters. Sign up today if you haven't done so already. Today's program, by the way, in two parts as well. Before we discuss using the culinary spices as natural remedies, let's first talk about the all-too-common cut from paper or a knife and how to speed up that healing process. And we welcome back to the program Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. Dr. Susan, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Rick. It's a pleasure to be with you. And it's a very eclectic discussion today where wound healing, we all need advice on that. And then also culinary herbs, because you'll find out that there's a lot of healing in the how we season and spice up our food. So this will be fun today.
I'm looking forward to that. The overall topic is understanding the self-healing body. So I'm looking forward to this. And as we're starting off here, give us a little introduction to wound healing and what we can do to slow it down. And I tell you, as we get older, we need to have this information because wounds don't heal like they did when we were 25 years old.
No, that's right. And like really, there's hardly anything worse than a slow healing cut, especially if it's on one of your fingers that you use all the time.
Yes.
So whether it's maybe a little slice from a kitchen knife, or have you ever gotten a paper cut?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Boy.
Those are terrible.
They are. That these pesky little injuries get in the way of our daily lives, and they can cause nagging pain. And slow a wound healing can occur for a variety of reasons, from poor nutrition, maybe inadequate wound care, to serious health issues and diabetes. But there are some safe and effective ways to speed things up. So that's what we'll cover today, maybe why your wounds may be slow to heal, and help you discover if it's something small or maybe a signal of an underlying health issue. And then we'll go through some of my favorite tips on how to heal cuts fast and, of course, with me, you know this, naturally.
Yes. And all this, by the way, on Dr. Susan's website, which is SusanSmithJones.com. Twitter, follow her at SusanSmithJones. We'll give you all of that as we go through the program. Dr. Susan, what happens when we experience a wound? I mentioned sometimes we get these as we get older, and they're really difficult to care for and to get rid of. And what are the stages of healing? What is the natural healing process that we go through?
Yes, great. So when we experience a wound, your amazing, miraculous self-healing powers will kick right into action. And the stages of wound healing, for the most part, most of the time, include bleeding. Let's just say you've cut your finger in the kitchen slicing tomatoes. Bleeding, then swelling, and that's the inflammation, then tissue regrowth and scarring. And though these stages occur at different rates for different people, if you let's say if you haven't noticed that the wound has begun to heal, that is, for example, if it hasn't started regrowing new tissue around the affected area within 5 days, you might be suffering from slow healing. And this can occur, Rick, for a variety of reasons.
Well, we're going to go into that in the program today. And from what you're saying so far, there are really some red flags we need to be aware of. The body is trying to tell us something, and we will get into those. Let's talk about the five possible reasons a cut may heal very slowly. You've got five that you feature on the website, and these are very important. What is number one? Let's go through the five reasons why a wound will heal slowly.
Yes. Now, of course, you know, on top of everything else, you always have to consider, what's your diet? Do you have great nutrition or do you have poor nutrition? Now, unsurprisingly, your diet has a lot to do with how well your immune system functions. And the body requires the right amount of protein, vitamins, and minerals to facilitate the healing process. And according to the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, you should up your intake of protein, vitamin C, vitamin A, and zinc when you have a wound or if you've noticed slow healing. And by the way, zinc deficiency is one of the most common nutrition-related causes of slow healing.
Interesting.
So, you know, make sure you've got adequate zinc in your diet. Another possible reason for slow healing, the second of five, would be diabetes and high blood sugar. Those with diabetes and high blood sugar have difficulty healing wounds. And why is that? Okay, it's because an elevated presence of sugar in the blood can prevent nutrients from being delivered to where they need to go. And in this case, you know, we're talking about, say, you cut your finger. It's the site of the cut. So be sure that you see a physician if you experience delayed healing along with other signs of diabetes. That could be one sign right there, if you weren't aware of it before with slow healing, that maybe you're pre-diabetic or diabetic. Third would be poor circulation. See, another major inhibitor to propel healing is an ill-functioning circulatory system, which plagues many people when they get older, the seniors, and especially those with limited mobility and smokers, because circulation ensures that the body gets enough fresh oxygen, and oxygen is important to delivering the right amount of the nutrients to the wound to ensure efficient healing. And you can boost your circulation with supplements. For example, supplement with a little cayenne pepper in a capsule form, or spice up your foods. Hawthorn tea, hawthorn berry tea, hibiscus tea help with circulation. And of course, good exercise. You get really a tremendous boost in your circulation when you move a lot. And one of the first improvements of more plant-based foods, and especially raw fresh fruits and vegetables, the bonus of that is immediate improved circulation.
Immediate.
Because when you eat a lot of fats and fry foods and oils and, you know, trans fat,
yes,
that slows down the circulation.
That's interesting. Now, all of this is on Dr. Susan's website, which is very simple, SusanSmithJones.com. Information, Twitter all the time. You'll get updates and great information there at Susan Smith Jones. Her website, as I mentioned, SusanSmithJones.com. You got the newsletter you can sign up for there. Topic today, if you're just joining us, understanding the self-healing body, going through some of the reasons that a cut may heal slowly, may have problems with that. We've talked about poor nutrition, diabetes, and high blood sugar. We just touched on poor circulation. How about poor wound care? How often is it sort of our problem because we're not caring for it properly?
No, that's right. And it's amazing. Even when we get older, everyone should know how to care for a wound properly. But it surprises me that many people don't. But how you care for your wound throughout the whole healing process is another thing to consider if you want to speed things up. So be sure that you follow always the proper first aid protocol. And if you have a cut that requires stitches, get yourself to the emergency room right away for the stitches. But then you always want to, on your own, if you can, stop the bleeding, clean the wound, apply an antibiotic agent. Now, I'd spray on some nanosilver. I'll talk to you about that in a moment.
Okay.
And then cover the wound properly to ensure that the wound is well protected so it doesn't worsen. And then I have, some other health issues. Slow to heal wounds can also be triggered by deficiencies in the human growth hormone. By the way, doing weight training a few times a week helps increase the human growth hormone that diminishes as you get older, but weight training will help you increase the level. So also it can be triggered by rheumatoid arthritis, vascular or arterial diseases. Slow wound healing can be triggered by stress, lack of sleep, obesity, skin dryness, and then other autoimmune deficiency conditions. And by the way, certain prescription medications may also prevent your body from proper self-healing. So these would be things you can talk to your doctor about.
I was going to say, these are things to watch for, and if necessary, talk to the doctor, because we're talking some serious issues there. It's not just a wound that's not healing properly and you don't pay a lot of attention to it. I guess your body is saying something, and again, you should be paying more attention to it. Talk a little bit about some things we already may have at home, natural remedies that will help heal cuts fast.
Yes. Now, of course, this is one of my favorite discussions right here. What do you have in your pantry or your spice cabinet?
Yes.
That might be good natural remedies for speeding up the healing process. There are natural antibacterial, anti-inflammatories like raw honey, tea tree oil, garlic, cayenne pepper, and coconut oil. You know, they can be either ingested or sometimes applied to a wound and to help support the immune system. Also, other wound healers include oils and gels fortified with, and I'm going to talk to you about the silver, but colloidal or nano silver. Aloe vera, I said tea tree oil, chamomile, lavender, or calendula to treat existing cuts. So let's talk for a moment about the nano silver. It's front and center in my medicine chest. Hippocrates said over 2,400 years ago, he was the father of medicine, by the way, that silver had beneficial healing and anti-disease properties. And I take a teaspoon to a tablespoon. It's tasteless. It looks like water. I take it in a glass of water every single day. I also have it in a spray bottle. So if I get a cut, a wound, you know, even an actinic keratosis, little precancerous spots, I'll spray the wound or the spot 2 to 3 to 4 times a day with a little spritz of this nano silver. Make sure you go to my website. In the search bar, put nano, N-A-N-O, silver, and you'll see a couple articles with lots of scientific studies. They've even shown how people, and by the way, it helps with over 650 disease-causing pathogens, viruses, fungus, bacteria, parasites, and mold, typically killing these within 6 minutes of contact.
Wow.
And they have studies, I have some on my website, that people that supplement their diet like I do with a little bit of the nano silver, and remember it's tasteless, so you can add it to anything, juice or tea or water, you can use it as a spray or take it internally, either don't get COVID, or if they get it, the symptoms they get are much more minor, you know, not heavy-duty symptoms as other people who keep the COVID and the symptoms for a long period of time. So I know our time's limited. So go to my website, put in Nano, N-A-N-O, Silver, and read there are a couple articles. I talk about the history of using silver, B.C., how thousands of years ago, and then up to 1800, and then 1800 to the present. And I talk about the difference between colloidal and nano silver, and which is better, and the many benefits, dozens and dozens of benefits of using silver, why I'd never be without it in my home's natural medicine chest. And there are lots of products on the market. You want to be careful what you get. You want ones with higher concentrations. So I show you exactly the one I get that I would never be without. I get two bottles. One's a spray, one's the liquid. And honestly, Rick, every single day, one of them I'm using, absolutely using.
Comes in really handy. And all of this, we're giving you a lot of information here. All of this is on Dr. Susan's website, which is susansmithjones.com. Need to take a break. And when we come back, let's get into the culinary spices as medicine. Really a lot of information, valuable information. You'll want to jot this down. And again, you can find it all on our website. You're listening to This Week in America. And we're back right after these messages. Welcome back. This Week in America, with us on the program, Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D. We're talking about a very important topic on the program today, understanding the self-healing body. We've talked about wounds, the self-healing body, that aspect of it, the wounds, how to treat those. Now we want to talk about the culinary spices as medicine. Let's change gears here, Dr. Susan. Focus on using the spices as medicine. Give us a brief overview, the history, what spices have in them, and how they're able to help all different types of diseases. I'm reading through this. It's just amazing what we have in the spice rack.
Yeah, it is fascinating, and you know this. Maybe many of your listeners don't know that decades ago, I used to be a private chef. And then I had a catering, you know, Whole Foods catering service to help me get through college and in my early 20s and 30s. Of course, I'm not much older than that right now.
Yeah, they're a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so I've studied a lot about what's in your spice rack that could help you. And very briefly, in biblical times, mustard seeds were thought to cure everything from toothaches to epilepsy. Saffron, black pepper, fenugreek, and other spices were also prized for their healing powers. But as it turns out, the ancients had this uncanny sense of which spices were most likely to be effective. And researchers now have identified substances that are in culinary spices that offer great health benefits. And so many studies have been done on kitchen spices like black pepper, cumin, cloves, cinnamon, nutmeg, fenugreek, turmeric. We read a lot about that. And what is it about this? You know, what's in these spices? They have an abundance of compounds called phytochemicals. Phyto means plant. Chemicals are phytonutrients, many of which help boost your own immunity so that your body can take better care of itself. They rejuvenate the body. They prevent normal, healthy cells from turning into cancer. And the ways in which these compounds work are actually as varied as the spices themselves. For example, many contain antioxidants, which are substances that block the effects of free radicals in the body. And free radicals, as you and I have talked about many times before, are harmful molecules that can punch holes in healthy cells, sometimes causing genetic damage that can lead to cancer. So this is going to be fun to go through some of my favorite culinary spices.
Well, let's do that. And again, I will mention all of this you'll find by going to Dr. Susan's website, susansmithjones.com. Like on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's go through some of your favorite culinary herbs and how they benefit the body and healing.
Okay, let's start with rosemary. my neighbor's name too. Now, maybe if you're older, you've heard that old expression that rosemary is for remembrance. Well, there's an element of truth to that, because rosemary is full of antioxidants that will keep your memory as sharp as a tack. It helps for mental focus, clarity, concentration, and it's a very strong herb, so a little bit goes a long way. It can enhance sauces. It can enliven up breads and muffins. But keep in mind that a tiny bit goes a long way. So start with a minimal amount. You can always add a little bit more if needed. And rosemary, again, remember, it's really good for the mind. And you and I have talked before how every morning I take my glass teapot. I fill it with purified water. It's about almost a half a gallon. It's that big. I put in little coins of turmeric and ginger roots. And it becomes a golden color. I bring to a boil. I simmer for about 5 to 10 minutes. And sometimes I'll put in a sprig, maybe 1 to 2 inches, of rosemary. Because why not infuse the water also with components that will keep my mind sharp throughout the day? And then this water, I'll drink throughout the day. I'll use it as a base in my smoothies. You know, I can add it to juice. I can use it as the liquid base in making grains, whole grains, or casseroles. But before the day's up, I have all of that wonderful turmeric, ginger, rosemary liquid. It's already consumed, and I can tell my mind's a little bit sharper when I add in a little rosemary, and it makes your kitchen smell really good, too, when you're heating up that water.
Oh, yeah, a side benefit. I like that. Now, you've mentioned turmeric several times. Talk about the benefits of that. We hear that a lot. Why is this so important?
And we do, and there are so thousands of studies on the benefits of this amazing culinary spice. The best spice to reduce inflammation in your body. Why is it so great? It's a rich source of antioxidants, and it includes this compound called curcumin, or curcumin. People say it both ways, doesn't matter. But this has been shown to reduce the risk of colon cancer by 58% in animal studies. Curcumin also has been shown to protect the eyes from free radicals, which are that's one of the leading causes of cataracts. Now, other studies have found that curcumin supplement can ease the pain and inflammation of rheumatoid arthritis and other inflammatory conditions. So you just can't get enough in your diet. I have it in a liquid tincture form. I have it in the turmeric root that I put in my water. I also have it in a powder form that I'll add to soups, or sometimes at the end of the day, I might have a big glass of tea and put turmeric powder in it, a teaspoon of it, and drink it down, just because, as we know now, that most diseases have their start with inflammation in the body, and it's a great anti-inflammatory.
All this again at Dr. Susan's website. We're going through a list of culinary spices as medicine. Ginger is up next. Talk about that.
Ginger. Now, it's one of the most popular spices on planet Earth, and it's been found to quell inflammation associated with some forms of arthritis, and it's the gingerol in ginger that relaxes blood vessels. So what does that mean? It helps to lower blood pressure, helps calm the body. It's a warming spice that eases upset stomachs, helps ease nausea. Whenever I have to fly somewhere or go on a road trip and I'm not driving, I'll take little ginger capsules with me to help with motion sickness. And women who are pregnant that have morning sickness, this helps. And it's a great immunity booster.
Interesting. And again, all of this is such a fascinating topic, and things that we have or should have in our homes anyway. Next up on your list is red hot cayenne.
Red hot, just like this topic today, a red hot topic. Now, cayenne actually is showing a lot of promise for cutting your cancer risk, and that's because it's an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant, and the compound, like the curcumin is the compound in turmeric, the great healing compound in cayenne is called capsaicin, and it does also help with weight loss. I take 2 capsules a day, more AM and PM, of cayenne. It also helps with circulation, studies have found that people that spice up their food with cayenne, or if you don't want your food to all taste spicy and hot, then you can use capsules. You can use capsules of the cayenne. And remember, start off slowly, and you might feel it coming out at the other end until your body adapts to it a little bit.
Okay, a word of warning with red hot cayenne. Red hot, that just say right there, the first 2 words will give you an indication what possibly lies ahead. How about clove?
Clove. Now, you think of clove for the Christmas time and the foods
yes.
you eat then, but there's a compound in clove that's a powerful inflammation fighter and a popular numbing compound that's found in many products, like especially gloves, used by dentists during, we hate to say this, root canal surgery. Mm-hmm. Clove is also very effective in reducing the risk of digestive system cancers. So it's a great antioxidant. I have a little open, small little bowl of cloves that I put inside different kitchen cupboards. So when I open the cupboard, I smell the clove. It's such a wonderful, delicious aroma, fragrance.
Black pepper is another one on the list. Everybody's got black pepper, right? That's common
yeah.
in most kitchens?
Yes, but you listen, get the fresh black pepper and grind it yourself. You don't want pepper that's been on the shelf for months and years.
Yes.
Studies show that black pepper, fresh black pepper, changes in the brains of mice and can reduce the severity of seizures. That's one little thing. But what's germane to our topic of wound healing is that this is amazing, and my grandmother taught me this when I was a teenager. It helps heal wounds quickly, reduces the pain and scarring of a wound. So what I often do, let's say I've cut myself, the first thing I do is I get my Nano Silver and I spray it on. That's the antibiotic. And then I've got an aloe vera plant in my kitchen's windowsill. I'll break off a leaf, I'll pull out some of the gel, the aloe vera gel, and I'll grind some fresh pepper into the aloe vera gel. Sometimes even a little tiny, not a lot, dash of cayenne, but for sure black pepper. And I put that on the wound and I put gauze around it because that black pepper with the aloe vera will quickly start the process of healing of a wound. By the way, black pepper helps you assimilate the turmeric and the curcumin in your body better. So when I put that turmeric in my juice or a glass of water, I often will take the freshly ground pepper and put a little bit in that beverage that has the turmeric in it, because that will help you utilize the turmeric. You'll find that many supplements on the market now, if you got capsules of turmeric, already have black pepper as part of the component of the capsule, so you utilize turmeric better.
With us on the program today is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. Her website is susansmithjones.com. Topic is understanding the self-healing body. We're going through some of the culinary spices as medicine. Now up to my favorite, cinnamon.
And that's one of my favorites, too, all year round. It improves your body's ability to obey insulin and take up glucose or blood sugar. It's also been found through studies to cut heart-threatening triglycerides and bad low-density lipoprotein, LDL, cholesterol. And there's a compound at work in the spice that it's MHCP that makes cells absorb glucose faster and convert it more easily to energy. And in one study I read not too long ago, and by the way, all of this is in my book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, they took 30 women and 30 men with type 2 diabetes. They all received cinnamon or a placebo capsule. That's a little dummy pill. And they did that every day for 40 days. And the researchers found that the cinnamon group's blood sugar levels had fallen by 18 to 29%. Their LDL cinnamon dropped 7 to 17%. The triglycerides fell 23 to 30%. And the good high-density lipoprotein, HDL, rose slightly. So you don't have to make all the food you eat taste like cinnamon, although whenever I have a sweet fruit, I make sure I put some, like this morning I had a bowl of pears and apples, and I sprinkled cinnamon on it because it helps you handle the sugar in the fruit better. But you can also get it in capsule form. A little tip here, since I love to cook, you can sprinkle cinnamon in your morning coffee, on your toast, on top of your oatmeal for sure. 1/2 teaspoon each day. So think of this, 1/2 teaspoon of powdered cinnamon could cut your triglycerides and total cholesterol by 12 to 30% while it boosts your body's ability to store blood sugar. You can put double the amount of it in your nice baked goods. You can sprinkle it on sweet potatoes. You can add it to chilies and curries for authentic flavor. You could create a zero-carb, flavorful, and refreshing drink that you and I've talked about many times by adding a cinnamon stick to your glass or bottle of water. One stick, Rick, will last 2 days. That tight curl will open up. Then you throw it away or put it down in the soil in your garden. Add another cinnamon stick that you can transfer from glass to glass or bottle to bottle, and that's a good way, and it gives your water a nice, faint flavor note of cinnamon. It's delicious, and what a conversation piece to walk around with bottled water with a cinnamon stick, because people will say, what is in your water, and then you tell them why it's good for you, and they'll be very impressed with your knowledge.
Be prepared to answer a few questions when you do that. But yes, I'm sure that will start a conversation going. Next on the list is saffron.
Ooh, probably the most expensive spice on planet Earth. There are compounds from saffron that were placed on human cancer cells, including cells that cause leukemia. And not only did the dangerous cells stop growing, but the compounds appeared to have no effect on normal, healthy cells, which is great. And because it's so expensive, I use it sparingly, but whenever I make soups, I add a little bit of saffron into the soup. And then let's go last but not least here, fenugreek. Fenugreek contains components that are called saponins, and these bind to cholesterol and cause it to be excreted from the body. In one study, for example, Rick, scientists found that animals given fenugreek had drops in cholesterol of at least 18%.
Wow.
These are little aromatic seeds. They're used in curry powder. And then because heart disease is the number one killer in the United States and the UK, here are 7 spices, some we've already talked about, that are very beneficial to prevent platelets from clumping and to help lower cholesterol. And these are the 7 spices, culinary spices: turmeric, fenugreek, cloves, red chili peppers, cinnamon, garlic, and ginger. By the way, garlic's like a natural penicillin. It's so good for you. But all of these have been, like ginger, for example, that compound in ginger, I said gingerol, has a chemical structure somewhat similar to aspirin, which has been proven as a clot-busting drug. Now, when you add all these spices in, if you have to have surgery or you're on blood thinners, you want to make sure your doctor knows what culinary spices you've added to your diet. Often before surgery, there are many they don't want you to use, take, eat for about a week beforehand.
Interesting. So, and again, all of this, a lot of information Dr. Susan has given us is on her website, SusanSmithJones.com. Doctor, you've written a few recipe books, teach people how to make healthier meal. Tell us how to spice up our recipes. Give us tips on exactly what to do. You've given us all this great information here. How do we implement it?
Yes, yes. And I know time is limited. I want to say I've got lots of recipes, excuse me, in my book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, and a few also in Uplifted. But I want to encourage everyone to experiment with spices. You know, we all have different tastes, but like add a dash of cinnamon on top of a sweet potato, sipping a cup of sage tea on a cold winter's day, or cooling off with a salad topped with multi-herb dressing will give you some unusual flavors. And all of these are ways, Rick, you can tickle your taste buds, make your food more exciting, and improve your health. So think of it this way. Every little dash of this or that that you add to your cooking will give you a health boost as well. And with a little experimentation, you may find some unusual flavors that will really excite you. So here are some things I do. I always add a little vanilla or a teaspoon of freshly grated ginger to my morning smoothie. And I might add a little vanilla extract, pure vanilla extract to the smoothie. And when I make almond milk, I love that. I add a little celery seed to my salads. I might sprinkle a little rosemary leaves onto my favorite potato dish. Maybe a few fennel or sesame seeds are great with any veggie dish. Now, there are some unique flavorful additions you can always add to your baked goods, like allspice, cardamom. We don't have time to go into those, but you can read about them in Wired for High Level Wellness and on my website. Vanilla, nutmeg, cinnamon. And if you love baking, you know, try making savory herbed breads by adding dill, coriander, fennel, onion, garlic, and rosemary. But I always say this, a note of caution, start small. Begin with a little dash, and because you can always add more if needed, but you won't be able to reduce it if you add too much.
Yes.
So, yeah, depending on the dish, try out some different forms of dried spices, whether minced, powdered, or whole, for a varying degree of flavor. And I just want to quickly mention maybe five of my favorites and how they benefit the body. Parsley. Now, parsley is one of the most nutrient-rich foods on planet Earth. I make sure I have parsley every day in smoothies and juices, not just garnish on a plate, but I would eat it. It also freshens your breath, but it's calming, detoxifying, rejuvenating, and it helps with constipation, and it's just great to freshen your breath. Like my grandmother used to say to me, when you're green inside, you're clean inside. Now, fennel, that's the licorice-tasting culinary spice, and it alleviates gas. So if you're really bloated, you have an upset stomach, make some fennel tea. Cumin, by the way, cumin, popular in Tex-Mex dishes, relieves indigestion, and most people don't know that it's a libido booster. How about thyme? We never have enough of thyme, but I'm talking about T-H-Y-M-E, and it's great for respiratory and digestive disorders. It's an antibacterial. And I love vanilla. I honestly, from vanilla candles to flavoring things with vanilla beans, my liquid extract I might put in when I make nut milks. But vanilla beans are an antioxidant rich, wonderful spice, reduces the risk of cancer, tumors of the breast and lungs. So who knew that our spice rack had so many healing powers in it?
Yes. It was such a fascinating conversation. And again, all of this on Dr. Susan's website. How can people get copies of the two latest books that we've talked about here before? You mentioned, I think, at least one on the program today. Where on the website can they sign up for the free monthly Healthy Living newsletters as well? Because all of this information is available on in your newsletters and on your website.
Yeah, all right, let's start with the newsletter. Just go to my website, SusanSmithJones.com. Right there on the homepage, there's what comes up first is a big picture of a sunflower field in Italy. Just gorgeous, gorgeous photo, and it says free monthly Healthy Living newsletters. Takes about 10 seconds to sign up. Once a month, you'll get a great newsletter from me. You don't want to be without these. They're very detailed, very comprehensive, inspiring, uplifting. I even put jokes in them with lots of great photos. So sign up for that. Go to books in the navigation bar. Go to either Wired for High Level Wellness or Uplifted, and you can find out how to get autographed copies from me. I autograph each one. I include a personal note card to you and a bookmark, and I go mail them myself. I mail books all over the world, but if you'd rather go to Amazon.com, you can certainly go there. And make sure in the search bar that's on the top right, you know, put in there nano silver therapy, and you'll get that very detailed article all about silver, how to get a small little bottle of the spray and the liquid. I would never be without those, especially with the viruses, colds, flu, you know, especially with any cuts or wounds. This is my go-to to keep the body as healthy as possible. And they're not expensive, but read about it on my website, and then you can click and you can get the same products I get.
All of this, again, it's very simple, SusanSmithJones.com. Our guest on the program has been Dr. Susan Smith Jones. Her website has all this information. You can order the books there, sign up for the newsletter. It's a wealth of information there. Spend some time when you go there. It's amazing what you will, the wealth of information you will find on her website. Books available there, as Dr. Susan mentioned. You can get them autographed and sent personally out to you. Our topic today with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones has been understanding the self-healing body. Of course, all this at her website, SusanSmithJones.com. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dr. Susan, a pleasure. Looking forward to next month. A lot of great information today. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, everybody.
You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.